Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Roku returns to the scripted holiday tale-telling fold next month with a unique offering. Love, shopping mall worker style, unfolds in the new series, The Holiday Shift. Creator and executive producer Tommy Jonigan joins me next. Also ahead, SAG-AFTRA and AMPTP resume talking, more customers cut Charter's cable tie, our classic trivia question, and we raise our voice in honor of Mr. Shame on You, Arnold Diaz. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, speaker and tuner radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network and more than 40 other great podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Our opening half hour today is brought to you by online grocery Sun and Swell, offering a world of delicious snacks and pantry faves anytime. 73 beautiful degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and we welcome you on this Friday afternoon to the program all about TV's current and future. Thank you for wrapping up the week with us on this pre-Halloween weekend coming before you. Wonderful guests coming your way over the next hour. We invite you to be part of the program. It's very simple. Pick up that phone and make that call. And when you do, here's the number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, speaker, tuner radio. Or get into our chat room to make your voice known. It's SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room. Either way, you are involved. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on that Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, speaker, tune the screen. Follow the instructions. Other people live with you. Tommy Jonigan from The Holiday Shift, starting November 17th on the Roku channel, will join us live from L.A. after these news notes. Negotiations are underway again this hour between the TV Film Producers Alliance, or AMPTP, and Screen Actors Guild, AFTRA. The goal? Move closer to a new multi-year deal by the end of today, then complete the process, announce the agreement early next week. We're now midway through day 106 of the SAG-AFTRA strike, blocking production of most scripted TV series. More than 320,000 Charter Communications cable TV or Spectrum customers dropped their allegiance to cable TV over the last 3 months. According to Charter's latest operations report out this morning, some 100,000 customers turned off for good during the company's blackout of Walt Disney-owned TV channels, including ABC, ESPN, and FX early last month. The situation resolved after 2 weeks, with Freeform, Disney XD, and Disney Junior among the services permanently gone, in exchange for carriage of Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus in various packages. Now, quickies, Peacock is giving first responders the opportunity to subscribe tomorrow at $1.99 per month for a full year. The offer covers Peacock's premium format only, and it's in honor of National First Responders Day. That's tomorrow. With one episode playing last night, new comedy series Everyone Else Burns has the green light to make a second set of episodes for the CW. Good Cop, Bad Cop gets on Investigation Discovery's primetime lineup November 12. The series covers murder investigations, where the prime suspect is connected to the local police force. Amazon Freebie's next original movie will be Xmas, that's E-X-M-A-S, premiering November 17th. It's a comedy face-off of ex-fiancés put together by BuzzFeed Studios. Could it be a Christmas TV season with a Barry Manilow primetime special? Looks like he'll do it December 11th on NBC from Las Vegas. An upcoming novel, Godfall, by comic book writer Van Jensen, will become a TV series of Imagine Television, directed by co-founder, yes, the former Opie and Happy Days co-star himself, Ron Howard. And that is news notes for today. Now joining us live from Los Angeles in an internet radio exclusive, the creator executive producer of the new Roku channel series, The Holiday Shift, which premieres on November 17th on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles, Tommy Jonigan. Tommy, thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me.
What inspired this new series from Roku?
I'm someone who, I think like a lot of people, every year consumes all of the holiday classics. I watch all the Christmas movies, and I start personally December 1st and just go through. I have some that, I do for specific days. And then one day I was, you know, realizing that there's not any new, or for the most part, there's not any kind of holiday series that are, you know, I do sitcoms, so I like, the idea of a sitcom that is an event series as opposed to just doing a holiday episode of an existing show. So that kind of got the wheels rolling, and then just liking all of the, you know, something like this to me is just like making something that the goal at the end of the day is just to make people laugh and make people happy. So I did different love stories that intersect over the course of the holiday season, and they all have a happy ending. Spoiler alert.
Now, all of these stories take place in a shopping mall. Were you in a pre-TV making life involved in as a mall employee, or did you know people that were, and did they provide inspiration for making this program?
Yeah, I worked at the mall, and just for me, I always like to write from experience and stuff like that. And there's something, you know, if you think of the way malls used to be and kind of the ways they can still be in some places, is around the holidays, they just turn into almost like a theme park of joy, you know, because of capitalism. But they're all decked out. There's decorations. There's carolers. There's so much joy and kind of exploding with the holidays that it made sense to set a show there and kind of pull from my real life of those experiences. You know, when I worked there, I was in my early, or I guess it was like pre-20s, late teens, early 20s, and you just kind of have that time in your life where you don't have any real responsibilities yet, but like some of the decisions you're about to make, whether it be like I'm going to move away for college or move for this job, start to become permanent. So I kind of just like capturing that period of your life too, where you're not really on the hook for a lot of responsibilities yet, but you're about to be. And kind of with working in those people, it's like the mall for me and a lot of people was my last job before I started my career. And I think that's kind of the fun way to look at it, is it's the last job of these kind of people before their lives get really kicking in.
Mm-hmm. Did any of the stories that people are going to see in this series based on any romantic encounters you had while serving as a mall worker?
I think it's a bit of a, you know, it's kind of some stories maybe pulled from real life, and then some stories are kind of based on a daydream that I'd have leaning on a, you know, kind of, I don't know how everybody else does, but when you're bored at the mall, you could tend to kind of daydream, and sometimes you daydream romantic comedies and remember those and turn it into a TV show someday.
So give us the road from creating this program, dreaming it up out of your imagination and real life experiences, to getting it on next month on Roku. What was the road like? How long did it take?
Specifically with this project, it took over 3 years, kind of from the beginning to the end of the time I, you know, came up with the idea, started to build the world and build the characters. I knew that I wanted it to be this event that kind of essentially acted like a 5-episode movie, like that could be a Christmas movie. And then pitching it around, finally getting it sold, and then, you know, lawyers, sometimes many, many months to get things going. And then by the time we got it set up and everything was going, the writer's strike was looming. So then I had to kind of rush to write the last 3 scripts before we went pencils down for the strike.
We're talking about The Holiday Shift. It is Roku Channel's new original series, and it premieres on November 17th on the Roku Channel, part of Roku, of course, available on smart TV sets, smart devices, starting with Roku's own devices, as well as their smart TV set as well. And we are speaking with Tommy Jonigan. He is the creator and executive producer of the series, which is produced through James Corden's production company, Fullwell 71, along with CBS Studios. And if you have a question or comment for John, Tommy, who comes with us live from Los Angeles this Friday afternoon, tomorrow be televised, make that call and use this number, 646-652-2906, and use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Tom Valbaum with you live from New York. Beautiful day. We have a great streak of superb weather happening here in New York. 73 degrees at the top of the hour. We're expecting it maybe beat 80 degrees tomorrow and have about 65, 70 or so to wrap up the weekend on Sunday. We have 3 more great episodes coming your way on Smart TV televised next week to finish October and kick off November. And coming your way on Monday, we will finally have the people behind the new Dude Perfect TV channel that's now running on smart TV sets and devices. Dude Perfect, of course, one of the most popular of YouTube group stars. We will have one of the members of Dude Perfect with us, Chad Coleman. as well as the president and CEO of Apparent Media Co. That's the production house that put the deal together, Neil Gruninger. That's all coming your way Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, exclusive interview right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tommy, are you still in shock that, A, you got this on television, and, B, you're doing it with James Corden's production company?
Yes. I mean, it's a big it's my first series that I've got on the air. I've worked on a lot of shows and sold my own things here and there, and a lot of things I'm happy and proud of, and they just didn't go for whatever reason. So having the first one go, and then this is, you know, Full Wheel 73. I've done two or three projects with them. It came from doing stand-up on James's show, so it's you know, generally, you know, it's the kind of the comic's dream to do stand-up on a show and then that lead to a sitcom. So I'm not in it, but it's still the same kind of thing. And, you know, Fullwell is such a great company. They, you know, I think kind of the very beginning, the appeal they had to this was it just it's a show that represents joy and it's supposed to make people happy. And, you know, I like the idea of doing a romantic comedy that is hopefully like comedy forward, something that, you know, that you could watch with the whole family, but then everyone is laughing and, you know, no one is kind of uncomfortable. And it's meant holiday programming. And it's always good for me when you can watch it with your kids and your parents if they're in town or if you live with them still.
Mm-hmm. So let's get into the plot lines of this series. It takes place in a mall. There are 5 episodes to work with. Talk about the kind of romantic escapades that these mall employees get into, and how do the plots intersect?
They intersect in a, you know, I would say kind of fun, surprising, but also natural ways, where we built a world where it's a core group of friends, and then there's a couple of new characters that fall right into the fold. And I just took on knowing, you know, in that 20-something where love and romance and everything is big, but also it's the beginning of your story. You know, some people, whenever they meet, it's kind of what is that story? And I just decided I wanted to do different types, whether it's the love at first sight. There's a full storyline that's love at first sight. There's the unlikely couple. There's the meant to be. There's a marriage with a new baby on the way. There's someone who loves their job. There's a sibling story. So I think just taking all of those stories that I feel like are super relatable and can be very funny and sweet, and just giving those stories life and characters. And just as they interact, you know, some of them are your typical 20-somethings where they, you know, giving each other bad advice, and always with the comedic through line. Like I kind of wanted to do this where it could get sweet and it could be, like a, you know, a sweet romantic story, but it's always, there's a joke right around the corner to undercut it so it doesn't stay too sweet.
And does this take place at a particular store in the mall, or do you spread it around to different, like the sporting goods store, the department store, the toy store, and so on?
Gets spread around a bit. You know, I wanted it to kind of, because the thing about when you go to a mall at the holidays is everywhere you look is exploding with Christmas. So, like, our main characters are obviously there. They work at a few different places around the mall. One of them is constantly on the move as part of the job, the security officers. There's a very fun storyline of a security officer who takes his job way too seriously and starts out with trying to catch there's a mystery giver, someone who each episode there'll be like a very selfless Santa Claus-esque gift or surprise, and the security guard's obsessed with catching him. So I like we get to see all of this mall. It looks beautiful. It's very, it was shot, director Paul Fox and DP Rob Scarborough with like all of us talking. We wanted it to be cinematic. So it has like a very cinematic look and feel. And like I said, like kind of with comedy being always present. So those romantic moments can land even harder.
Did you film this at an actual mall, whether in Los Angeles or somewhere else?
Yeah, it was shot in a mall in Winnipeg. So it's kind of, it doesn't look in real life what it was, kind of came out on the screen, but it wasn't shot during Christmas time, so we just had to build a full mall set at Christmas, just take the existing mall and make it Christmassy. And it just was like that. Like, people were, when we weren't shooting in a part of the mall, they were just walking around experiencing Christmas several months off.
The cast is ensemble, and a lot of people, when Roku channel viewers see them, are going to be fairly new to them. Tell us about how you assembled the cast and what you were looking for in terms of how individual cast members were playing their roles.
I think the first thing I wanted when we were looking for cast is I wanted it to be people who were genuinely funny people. Not, you know, and that's, people can be in funny movies or shows or have like a resume that, that exudes comedy, but I wanted to know in the audition, you know, is this person funny? Because that's where I think you get a lot of your laughs that aren't on the script or don't come from the director, is just having someone who's inherently funny. So we went out, just, you know, cast a wide net, and just found this cast of incredibly funny people. And then we also, you know, at each step, I believe we were, you know, we were able to pick and close deals on the best people that we saw. And we ended up very fortunate in, we have a very diverse cast, very funny. They all got along in real life. And I think that comes through in the screen. They kind of basically just did a little camp together where we sent them to Winnipeg and they just lived there for 5 or 6 weeks. And they, you know, they became very close, and that comes off in the screen. But it was just kind of a classic. We didn't have specific names for specific parts. We just wanted to find the best people for it. So that's, you know, it took a while to get it, but I think at the end we got everyone we wanted, and I was very fortunate to have a cast that's that funny and can also do the romance stuff.
And let's name for a moment before we go further some of those people in the cast. There's Sarah Levy, John Doerr, Varun Saranga, Jean-Luc Bilodeau, Devin Nakoda, Nadine Baba, Brielle Robillard, and Michael Delba. And if I mispronounce anybody, I spit apologetic. So I want to make sure we got that.
I think you came pretty close.
The new. Sorry, go ahead.
I think you got the names pretty close. You're right on.
Great, great, great. We are talking with the creative executive producer of the new Roku Channel series, that's The Holiday Shift, that's Tommy Jonigan. It will premiere on November 17th on the Roku Channel, which you can find on Roku smart TV sets and devices and other smart TV devices and multi-channel bundles as well. Tommy joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour here on this Friday afternoon edition of Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon, I'm with you from the other side of the U.S. of A., namely New York City. Gorgeous 73 degrees right now, coming near the bottom of the hour. If a question or comment or remaining minutes with Tommy, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04. My name, Rick Webb, our superfan from Philadelphia Eagles territory, is with us in the room as well. And coming your way next Wednesday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we will kick off November, namely November 1st, with the chief operating officer of one of the new single sports channels around. It's called Willow, and it deals with the growing popularity of cricket, which not only is being played all over the world, including here in the United States with amateur leagues and the new Major League Cricket Professional League, but also is becoming a Olympic sport next summer in Paris. Todd Myers, the chief operating officer of Willow, he'll be with us among our other guests. That's coming your way next Wednesday, November 1st, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Let's talk about the Tommy Jonigan breaking into TV story. How did that happen?
I was a stand-up, or I still do stand-up a little bit, but I started stand-up very young, and I was touring all over the place for several years. And then from that, you know, I was fortunate enough to be seen by the right people here and there, and started to pitch. I pitched a show, sold it. It didn't get picked up, but I enjoyed the writing and the process. So then I went out and pitched another show. And did that for a while, where I would pitch a show. I would still be on the road touring. And then finally I was working with someone on a thing that I had sold to CBS that ended up not going. And I was just kind of used to that of like, oh, a show doesn't go, then I just go back on the road and continue to tour. And then I was offered a job by this writing team, the Philgos, a husband and wife, who were showrunners on that 70s show back in the day, and they had a show with Matt LeBlanc on CBS, and they said, you know, we don't know if you're interested, but we're going to offer you a job. And I had two kids. I still have two kids, but they were 3 and 6 months old at the time, and I jumped at the chance to not be on the road anymore. I had toured for about 50 weeks a year for the better part of 16 or 17 years and just was ready to have a little more stability. So then I transferred into the writer's room, and I've been in the writer's room since that. And, you know, when you're in a room, you're focused on the job you have and grateful for that, but then also always, at least I am, kind of looking for my own project to do in addition to that. And so this show I was on, I was writing on that 90s show for Netflix when this thing, at the same time, I was kind of working on weekends and before and after work writing the holiday shift for Roku.
What writing aims or goals or tips have you learned along the way that you're applying to the holiday shift in terms of how to make a series like this work?
Well, I'm still, you know, still learning. I would say storytelling was something I just learned from experience and being in the room, kind of. I also think kind of one of the things I've learned just being on shows is at some point, you can reach a little bit of diminishing returns if you continue to write and tinker. At some point, you got to say this is ready or this is done for now. And, you know, sometimes as a writer, you write a script and you just need to not look at it for a few months. Like, it's not sold. It's just something you've written. And you're like, I need to put that down. Go write something else and then come back. Because if you just continue to look at something, you can constantly tinker with it. And at some point, you'll start to make it worse because the only three options when something's done is to make it better, worse, or just different. So I always kind of make sure I want to always feel like I'm making it better and not just different or worse. And, you know, that's to me something like efficiency. I learned from working with showrunners that when you do have your show and, you know, you're the showrunner, just try to make it the best place for people to work. Understand that people have lives and families and that, you know, you don't want to just kind of take over as much as you can. So we shot long hours, which I think was on me. I think I would, if there's a season two or the next show, just try to tighten it up a bit and shoot better hours. But other than that, I think it's just, you know, you get your own sense of humor on the page. You get your own type of story. Tell the story you want to tell. It's really hard to not think of the standards of, you know, when you're writing something, like writing this, it was not something I was like trying to sweep the Emmys. Like I think shows like Abbott Elementary and The Bear are amazing shows. And if you set that as the standard of, I'm not going to say this is done until it's as good as the best episode of Abbott, it kind of is hard. You can be hard on yourself. So I think just make sure just to know what you're writing and what you want it to be. And a half-hour holiday comedy that makes everyone happy is and laugh is all I wanted out of this. So anything else is extra.
Several years ago, we had the creators and producers of Abbott Elementary on this program, and one of the things we learned is that they picked the actors and in some cases encouraged them to draw upon their own experiences in public school, whether as teachers, themselves or educators in their lives for their characterizations and how they approach the storyline. Did you invite your cast to do the same when it came to reflect on their own either romantic experiences or their own holiday experiences and bring that to their performances?
Yeah, for sure. As much as you can. I would also, you know, take time of, you know, sometimes an actor just wants to know what it is that, hey, when we're in this scene, like, what is it that you're looking for? And if they have something to pull from, if they know kind of what the goal is and they go, hey, I have this. And then also, you know, there's times where, you know, reminding them that, you know, pull from your own experiences. But then also, like, you know, what we're trying to make here is this kind of very optimistic, happy Christmas comedy. So we're not trying to go too low. We're not trying to have too much down on the emotions, which I know that like some shows call for that, and it was great to see the cast adjust on the fly. It was really fun. There's so many Easter eggs from Christmas movies, Christmas Vacation, A Christmas Story, you know, Elf, all these movies. There's just Easter eggs throughout the series, and it was very fun to see the cast kind of find those and discover those and sneak some of them by that they didn't even know was happening.
If 4073 and CBS Studios and Roku give you the opportunity to do a second season of this series, would you do it? Would you, let's say, either with the same ensemble cast or maybe bring in other people and maybe tie it around another holiday like New Year's Eve or Thanksgiving or Easter or the advent of spring or summer?
I wouldn't want to do it around another holiday because I don't think the other holidays have the same kind of universal feel, you know, even just the decoration of the town and the mall. Like, I would love to do a second season, and for me it would be another Christmas event series, holiday event series, where I would probably add a couple characters and then really explore where the characters that in this season, where they've been, what they've been up to for the last year. And then also, because it's an event, I would like to do something big. When I think of like the Christmas movies that I'm thinking of, that this show, I kind of threw all the best parts of everything in there. There's narrators, there's flashbacks, there's fantasies, there's all kinds of things where I think you would do the same in the second season and try to figure out what makes it an event. Like, is it it's a road trip holiday comedy now? Is it they, you know, end up in Hawaii? Like, I think there's like a big swing that would make it very fun, but also keeping the central theme of, you know, romantic comedy. Keep it funny and keep the romance fun.
And if you want to stay with the shopping mall motif, you can have them make it the Road to Mall of America. If you've ever gone to that place or heard about that place, it's like the biggest, it's not just a shopping mall, it is like a paradise where they are. It's like they just keep on growing.
I took my kids to Mall of America. It's amazing. There's a roller coaster. There's a theme park inside of it.
Yeah, it's incredible. And they just keep growing and growing it. So it's like, you want big,
yeah.
There you go, big in the mall motif.
A road trip to Mall of America, but maybe they don't ever get there. It's the Wally World of malls.
There you go, National Lampoon style. Well, in the meantime, right, while we wait for that call from Roku and Fullwell and CBS Studios, what is next for you now that particularly the writer's strike is done and everybody's back to writing at least?
I'm writing on the second season of that 90s show for Netflix, the reboot of that 70s show. So we start back on Monday. We're hoping the cast closes soon because we're ready to start shooting. And then I have a couple of projects, various stages of development. You know, I think that a part of coming from stand-up is you're just constantly working. Like, no one's going to tell you to sit down in your hotel room and write 20 minutes of material. It's just like every single day you got to work. And I just try to stay extremely busy, you know, be an example for my kids and let them know that just hard work pays off. So when I'm writing on a show, I'm still doing, you know, two or three other things that I'm hoping to sell and turn into my own show. Like, I have an adult animated thing and then a kind of traditional multicam sitcom and movie. And you just got to keep working. And everything you write makes you better. So there's no wasted energy or time. So I'll be doing that and watching my kids do all their sports, which is the best part.
And for us, we can catch Tommy's work starting November 17th with the premiere of The Holiday Shift, 5 episodes coming your way on the Roku channel. Part of Roku is available on Roku smart TV sets and devices, also on other smart TV set device and multi-channel bundles. And incidentally, in addition, there's another Roku holiday treat coming your way. It's called How to Fall in Love with the Holidays. Terry Hatcher is the star of this new original movie from Real One Entertainment, and that will be premiering starting next Friday, November 3rd, again, through the Roku channel. For more details, you can go to Roku, ROKU.com. That's Roku.com. The Holiday Shift, starting November 17th. Tommy Giant, the creator and executive producer of the series, thank you for joining us. Congratulations on getting this project off the ground, and hopefully much more from you to come in the months and years ahead. It's been great having you on.
Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Take care, Tommy. Have a super weekend. Tommy Johnigan, creator and executive producer of The Holiday Shift, joining us live from Los Angeles. More Tomorrow Be Televised will come your way after some words from Sun and Swell. You know, Sun and Swell is the first online grocery store with a fine, wonderful line of healthy, great-tasting foods that come to you in plastic-free, compostable packaging. Every item is 100% vegan, gluten-free, and free of added preservatives or ingredients. We're talking rolled oats, trail mix, apple pie bars, energy bites, banana chips, nuts, mango, and they picked up 1,000 five-star reviews for their wonderful items. If you're looking for a more planet-friendly pantry, well, shop Sun Swell and get 20% off site-wide when you go to sunandswellfoods.com and use the promo code TELEVISE at checkout. That's 20% off your entire order when you use the promo code TELEVISE, T-E-L-E-V-I-S-E-D, at sunandswellfoods.com. Coming up next, our classic trivia question, and we'll have a special tribute to a pioneer of consumer-friendly television, Arnold Diaz, Mr. Shame on You, here in New York, and for a while on ABC's 2020. We'll have that salute and more after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. Listen to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 90 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Cathode Ray Mission's mission tonight on Blog Talk Radio, tell you about the iconic 1960s Boris Karloff TV series, Thriller. It's a great pre-Halloween treat happening tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on VTR. Cathode Ray Mission, Thriller, with Boris Karloff, the topic, tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget, Best VTR always coming your way 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Friday afternoon, final Friday afternoon of October 2023. Simon Avon with you live from New York, and this half hour is brought to you by Laird Superfood, plant-based coffee creamers and other products that fuel you from sunrise to sunset. 75 beautiful, gorgeous degrees at the top, bottom of the hour here in New York. Happy you're with us for another edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, third of three episodes this week. Coming up, we have a tribute to someone who passed away, a pioneering journalist here in New York and nationally, Arnold Diaz, the man that created Shame on You and changed the face of consumer reporting television with it. But first, we have our classic trivia question of the week. Third time we're offering the question this week. And if you are first with the correct answer, you will win five great prizes, including a free Redbox movie night, courtesy of the folks at Crackle Connect, a free Uber card from AMC Networks, two wonderful classic music CDs, Chicago's greatest hits, including If You Leave Me Now, Saturday in the Park, Another Rainy Day in New York City, and Does Anybody Really Know What Time It Is? And the Lifetime Women in Rock Collection with classic performances by Annie Lennox and the Eurythmics, Linda Ronstadt, Michelle Schott, Laura Branigan, Bananarama, and more. And the popular and best-selling book on Amazon and other places, it's Jeff Melvoin's, that's the writer-producer of the classic Northern Exposure series on CBS. His new book is Running the Show, Television from the Inside. He was with us last month on the program. It's a marvelous book, and we're offering that as a prize, too. All that can be yours if you know the answer to the following question. Name the 1990s USA Network scripted series about a California-based biker beach patrol. Name the 1990s USA Network series, scripted series, about a California-based biker beach patrol. If you know the answer, you know what to do. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Email entries only. Make sure you include your name and address when you send in the answer. And if you're a previous winner or guest on this program, you are not eligible. One more time. Here's the question. Name the 1990s USA Network scripted series about a California-based biker beach patrol. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and your mailing list. If you win the prize, we get them to you as soon as possible. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we post the question tomorrow, Saturday morning, on Facebook and X, a.k.a. Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum and X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, of course, you got to play in. So turn your TV trivia smarts on today and all the very best. Even though we still have 2 months to go before we wrap up 2023, it has been a transition and in a way a very sad time for local TV journalism on television here in New York. We've lost some marvelous pioneers of the field, like Dr. Frank Field, the first weather forecaster in New York, became nationally known for Johnny Carson barbs on The Tonight Show. He also did some syndicated shows that ran on the NBC on TV stations. And this past Tuesday, another great pioneer of terrific news journalism passed away. His name was Arnold Diaz. You know him in the New York area for over 50 years of journalism on first WCBS-TV here in New York, Channel 2. Then later he was on ABC's 2020 for nearly a decade as the consumer reporter. Then he came back to New York for WNYW and their 10 o'clock newscasts. And finally, for the last near decade, he was stationed at WPIX, the CW affiliate here in the Big Apple, Channel 11. He retired from his work early last year. And for all that time, Diaz specialized in consumer reporting, and not just any consumer reporting, his own brand of investigative reporting on behalf of people who were being ripped off by all sorts of scam artists. He, of course, was famous for how he introduced those segments, according to the theme and the words, "Shame on you." Remember, he would have that graphic animation of the theme going on and the hand with the index finger pointing down at somebody, and the singer would go, "Shame, shame, shame, shame on you." And then Arnold Diaz would come along with a problem that he either discovered himself or was sent in by a viewer of somebody being ripped off. Now, Diaz did his homework. He was one of those people that, working with his producers and other staff members at Channel 2 or Channel 5 or Channel 11 or ABC 2020, he would do his homework about what was going on. He would interview the alleged victim on camera. He would do his homework, get other people to substantiate the claim, and then, guns blazing, camera rolling, he would go to the source of the issue and confront that person, him or her, on camera with what's going on here. He's very polite about it, like, "I'm here. I want to know what's going on," like Mike Wallace. And he was dogged. He was bullheaded. He wanted answers. He would not go unless he got an answer, like, "What's going on here? Why is this problem happening? Why is this person not getting service? Why is this person not getting what this person needs?" Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And whatever happened, caught it on camera and showcased it. And then if the problem was not resolved and the scam artist was still being scammy, that person would be inducted into the Channel 2 or Channel 5 or Channel 11 or ABC Hall of Shame with that thick old index finger just moving, 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 like, kind of thing. Over the course of 50 years, Diaz did more than 1,000 Shame on You or Shame, Shame, Shame or What a Shame reports. And in addition, he would not let a situation go. Many times, Diaz would do follow-up reports, like a week or two or 3 weeks later, about some of the stories he covered to see, hey, did this person repent? Did this person, finally get what was supposed to be coming to him or her? And he did it all the way through his career, not just on one story, but on many stories. And in fact, on many of the stories he did, his work would lead to either changes in local regulation, state regulation, or national regulation in some cases. One of the journalists now at Channel 2, anchor person Maurice Dubois, did the obit for Diaz this past Tuesday. And he called him a fixture of New York journalism. And he said the following, and I quote, "In his 50 years covering the news, he tirelessly worked to demand answers. No issue was too big or too small." Diaz died Tuesday at age 74 from multiple myeloma, a form of blood cancer. And when he left for the last time on Channel 11, he got his own chance to say what he said on videotape. And here's part of what he said. "I've been lucky to have had a dream job, standing up for the little guy, sticking it to the bad guys. In a town where money talks, my report gave voice to victims who complaints were too often ignored. I leave with no regrets. I've left my mark. Most satisfying are the viewers who have thanked me for paying attention to their problems. Thank you for watching." And that was the last words that Arnold Diaz presented on camera over a year before he passed away. Arnold was also one of the most awarded journalists, not only here in New York, but around the country. He won 48 local New York Emmy Awards, all for his consumer reporting. He also won other awards for his work on ABC 2020 from various organizations. And he was also inducted into the prestigious Silver Circle of the New York Academy of TV Arts and Sciences for his ongoing service, not only in reporting, but also making a difference with New York and with people around the country. You know, Arnold was, in addition to leaving behind his wife and his family, he also left behind millions of viewers and millions of people who appreciated what he did, whether for themselves or for people around them or for the city or the U.S. at large. And not only leaving that, but he also left people who were inspired to become consumer journalists, people in the investigative field to do things for others. If it wasn't for Arnold Diaz, locally, you would not have things like Seven on Your Side or Better Get Pincaro, both on Channel 4, WNBC, and on Channel 47, Telemundo's local affiliate here. And certainly, you would not have the kind of investigative consumer journalism you would find at many a local station around the nation. One final thought about Arnold Diaz and his marvelous career. It may be a cliche, but sometimes people hear the thought that the goal in life, the big goal in life, is to leave your world better than when you found it. The greatest tribute I can give, or anyone can give, to Arnold Diaz is that when it comes to that benchmark, Arnold Diaz did. No shame about that. And if you want to see his wonderful work, you can go on YouTube, you'll see not only the wonderful tributes that were done this week by Channel 2, Channel 5, Channel 11, you'll see wonderful excerpts of his work, including some of his final reports, which, by the way, did wonders for people. One of the most interesting reports he did was on an issue involving a child who lived in a condo with his parents, who because of a crazy law could not ride his bike on the sidewalk of the condo. I'm not kidding. Could not ride his bike, his small bike, on the condo because of a crazy rule. And when he confronted the owner of the condominium, he was told, it's not my fault. The government has a rule that I got to follow. And I'm just doing my duty. As he showed, and he got the documentation for it. By the way, Diaz was a stickler at documentation. In fact, that was not the case. There was no local or state rule regarding having condominiums forbid kids from driving their bikes on the sidewalk leading from the street to the condo or the specific condo apartment building. And the result of that report led to an investigation by local and state authorities of that situation, and to make sure that it was made specific that landlords of condominiums could not do that, could not prevent kids from riding their bikes between their apartment buildings and the street. Again, another great outcome of Mr. Shame on You. Arnold Diaz passed away this week, Tuesday, at the age 74. And I hope you get a chance this weekend, if you can, to see his reports from start to finish over 50 years of outstanding work that made such a difference and such an impact on so many people, and not just here in New York, but around the country. Rest in peace, Arnold. We will miss you, and we'll always be inspired by what you did. Like I said, you made the difference. No shame. One more time before we leave you, let's do our classic trivia question of the week, and it's this. Name the 1990s USA Network series, scripted series, about a California beach biker patrol. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04 at yahoo.com. It's simonapple04 at yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you're first with the correct answer, you win 5 great prizes. And if you are a previous winner or a guest of this program, you are not eligible. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the question tomorrow on Facebook and X or Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. And incidentally, while you have a chance, Check up on some of our more recent episodes, including yesterday's. Yesterday, we had a stunner of an episode. We were able to get a live exclusive scoop by interviewing the Senior Vice President General Manager of a new interactive service coming soon to smart TV sets and devices known as Glance TV. And we would not have known about it had it not been for the fact that on Wednesday, when I went that afternoon to NAB Show New York playing at the Javits Center for the last 3 days in Midtown Manhattan, I saw their exhibit, which was near the back of the exhibit hall among the 200-plus exhibitors that were there. We got a chance to see the exhibit, see what the service was all about, was able to talk to one of the people there, and then we started the ball rolling on having Manish come on the program live and exclusive for us yesterday. He was calling us live from a cell phone at his exhibit at the Javits Center. If you missed that episode, I really invite you to go hear it as soon as you can. It's at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's also running on smartbytelevised.com, the wonderful website put together by the great people at On Podium, and all of our 40-plus podcast destinations, including iHeartRadio, Zencaster, Podbean, Pod Paradise, Acast, Amazon Music, Audible, etc. Speaking of Podbean, they were also at NAB Show New York. I want to congratulate them for being there, and we had a chance to talk with them, and we will be having a further conversation with this coming week about what else we can do with them. So I want to thank Podbean for that opportunity. And also, one thing that was really, really unique about NAB Show New York was the fact that there was a lot of talk about where we are going with new television services. We're going with YouTube. Stars now becoming their own TV makers, whether either series or special channels. And we're going to have Dude Perfect on Monday, talking about the new Dude Perfect TV network available on smart TV sets, device, and multi-channel bundles, but also about how interactive TV is going to go. There seems to be sort of a sense that some people believe that it will all be done through the television set, where you will be able to manipulate the set to order products and services, make bets, wager, check in on your smart TV appliances in your home or apartment, all through the TV set. And there are some people who believe that it's going to be, you're going to actually multitask using both your smart TV set and your smartphone or a laptop. Very interesting trains of thought going on. We'll see which one or both work out. And one more thing before we go. As we mentioned at the top in our news notes, the Screen Actors Guild and AFTRA and AMPTP are talking again at this hour. You get a sense that everybody is to make a breakthrough in having a deal by the end of this weekend or early Monday at the latest. Why? Because there's growing consensus that if a deal is not done by end of day, midnight, going from October 31st, November 1st, this scripted TV season on broadcasting cable TV, you can kiss it goodbye, because we heard from the Rap and some other places, a lot of people think that AMPTP is going to walk away if there is no deal and not negotiate at all until after New Year's Day, 2024. So there's a lot riding on what is happening now and what may take place over the weekend. You get a sense that maybe we are at the point of no return and something has to get done, and both sides have to keep at that bargaining table. No more breaks, no more day offs. It happens now, starting today and, if need be, through the weekend. And certainly on Monday afternoon, our next program, we'll see, hopefully, how it all turns out. Keep your fingers crossed. There'll be an agreement, and we can get scripted TV production back and big all over the place, broadcast, cable, mega content services, et cetera. Again, I want to thank our guest, Tommy Jungerman from The Holiday Ship, creator, executive producer. Once again, that program starts November 17th on the Roku channel on Roku. More details, roku.com, 5-episode series. I think you'll find it very, very romantic and very, very entertaining. We'll be back with you on Monday, regular time period, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, when we will kick it off with a big view of the new Dude Perfect TV channel. We will have Dude Perfect member Chad Coleman live with us, along with Neil Gruninger. He is the president and chief executive officer of Apparent Media Co. They also do the Kid Doodle channel, Kid Doodle TV, and he put this deal together. And coming up next Wednesday, we will have, among other people, the Chief Operating Officer of the new all-cricket channel, Willow, Todd Myers. If you came in late on today's episode, you want to catch up on an episode you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And you can also check us out over the weekend at our wonderful lineup of more than 40 podcast sites, plus our terrific website, SwarbyTelevised.com. That's SwarbyTelevised.com from the fine people at On Podium. As always, we appreciate what you have to say. You make the program go. And I should point out, since we have a minute or two left to talk about it, that Zencastr, a lot of you are listening to us on Zencastr, and I deeply appreciate it. We've really become very big on Zencastr and the Creator Network. Going into last weekend, we had, and Zencastr has been with us for several months now, about 500, nearly 600 plays of our episodes. Going into today, from the last 5 days, we have gone from nearly 600 to nearly 1,800. That's right, we've gone over 1,000 replays going into today of our shows this week. So thank you all you people listening to us on Zencastr.com, that's Zencastr.com. We appreciate you. We also appreciate the advertisers that have come to us through the Zencastr Creator Network, and hopefully more and more and more on the way. So thank you. And if you like what we're doing on podcast, please tell a friend. If there's a podcast site that is not taking us and you wanted to, let me know. Drop me an email, simonapple04@yahoo.com, or find me on social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, or X. And let me know who to talk to. We'll make the conversation happen, and we'll make something happen. That's how we do things around here. And again, we love hearing from you, so use that email. Use our social media contacts, LinkedIn, Facebook, at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon CWBT. By the way, use that email if you have ideas for a show to know. If there's a show you like that doesn't get enough attention, we'd like to hear about it. So email me with all the info, simonapple04@yahoo.com. If we use your suggestion on the air, you get the credit. And we have to hear from you to make it happen. So be part of the feature. We love to make this show more and more about you, 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 and especially you out there. So we love what we have to say. We love you. We appreciate you. Drop me a line. Communicate, pro or con. We respond to you within 24 hours, no matter what you have to say, because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not those of Blog Talk Radio, no series of this program. Andy Toe is BTR's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Websites are provided by On Podium, the Internet's new and great podcast outpost. Guitarist Bacus is our web coordinator. Swarby Televised was brought to you today by Laird Superfood, plant-based coffee creamers, and other products that fuel you from sunrise to sunset. And by online grocery Sun and Swell, offering a world of delicious snacks and pantry faves anytime. Remember, over the last couple of episodes, we have been inviting you that if you'd like to make a contribution to the various emergency relief funds that are taking place to help the people in Israel dealing with the conflict between Israel and Hamas. We've given you various websites to go to. Check them up on YouTube. One of them is the Great Israel Emergency Fund from the United Jewish Appeal and the Federation of Jewish Philanthropies here in New York. If you want more details about that particular fund and make a contribution, it's UJA Federation, that's UJAFEDNY.org. That's UJAFEDNY.org. However you contribute, how much you contribute, and where you contribute to, the money goes to helping those people who really do need your help. It is an emergency, and it's very, very important that we take care of Jews and other people dealing with this incredible crisis. And let's all hope and pray that this crisis comes to an end that is peaceful and works for the people of Israel. But tomorrow we televise. I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, and all of our podcasts and web destinations. And one more salute to the folks at Pardon the Interruption, wrapping up its first week of year 23 today at 5:30 p.m. Eastern, 2:30 p.m. Pacific on ESPN, and then an hour later or so on ESPN2. As co-host Tony Conine will say, we're out of time. We'll try to do better the next time. And as Michael Wilbon would say, have a great weekend, knuckleheads. Again, back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Tuner Radio, and all of our podcasts and web destinations. Whatever you're up to between now and then, please make it safe and great, and please keep the prayers coming for the state of Israel. Until the next time, stay well, and stay tuned.